It is a good day in my life when I quit worrying about what my friends thought. It's a good day in my life when I got the place. I wasn't worried about what anybody in the church thought. About what if I tell them I just got saved and they're gonna think this and they're gonna think that. And it was a good day in my life when I got over all of that and realized what nobody else worth going to hell for. There wasn't one thing I was holding on to that was worth busting the charred walls of the damned, amen, and spending eternity in that awful place of judgment for, amen. And I fled all I was holding on to. I fled all the fears that I had, and I ran to the Lord Jesus Christ. Best day of my life. That could be the best day of your life in this place today. Revelation 6, begin reading in verse number 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice what they say in closing this text in this chapter in verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help us, on the phrase that's found in the end of verse 16, where this crowd in this time, this prophetical time that is to come, says to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from, here it is, the wrath of the Lamb. Preaching today simply on that thought or that line, the wrath of the Lamb. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I make my humble prayer to you, understanding, Lord, that I'm nothing and that, Lord, I can do nothing. Lord, this morning we need the help of the Lord to strengthen us in mind and in heart. Lord, in body, Lord, we need today for you to pass by this way and, Lord, to do a great work here. Lord, we're not looking for something that we can do in the power of our flesh or, Lord, what few abilities, if any, that we would have. Lord, we confess today our personality will not be enough. Lord, we confess this morning that, Lord, even our own desire, Lord, what we would love to see today would not be enough. Lord, we need the power of Almighty God, Lord, to sweep through this place. Lord, we need you to make the word alive. And Lord, this text to come alive this morning. Lord, we understand it's prophetical. It's dealing with things that are to come. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, as it is indeed the word of God and made. Lord, every soul that's here today, a sinner and destined and damned and doomed, Lord, for that awful judgment of God and the wrath of the Lamb that is to come, may, Lord, they embrace that truth. May they see themselves there. Lord, I pray they recognize, Lord, that they deserve everything that's coming their way. And Lord, I pray they'd understand that in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood of He is the Lamb slain, Lord, for our sin. And Lord, in Him they can have salvation. Lord, in Him they can be rescued. In Him, Lord, they can escape that dreadful and that terrible day that is to come. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll bless you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this passage of Scripture, we find in the text, and I'll lay hold upon it quickly. We'll try to make our way to our thought here just for a moment. But immediately in verse number 12, we're introduced here and find the opening of the sixth of what is known as a seven-sealed book. Each seal representing a fashion of the time that is to come that is known in the Word of God as the tribulation period. And the tribulation period is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's known as the great day of the Lord. And by other names, this time period is known, that is the tribulation period. And to get us to there, we understand it is a time. We're living in a wonderful dispensation of time known as the Age of Grace. At time between the Savior having come into this world to, amen, that time that is to come just any day now known as the rapture of the church. Whereby those that have been saved, those that have been, amen, converted and redeemed by the power of the gospel, amen, are going to be delivered from this present world. Amen, and that is our blessed hope that we're looking for as children of God. I believe in Revelation you find this typified, that, and this truth is magnified, for in Revelation 2 and 3 you find that John the Beloved, in this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and from Christ receives letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. He gives them their message, and there in Revelation 4, John said that he heard a voice as it were a trumpet saying, come up hither. And John is caught up into the heaven, and there with the church round the throne of the Redeemer, the throne of the Lord, they rejoice and they worship, and from then on are ever present with the Lord. That is the rapture of the church in Revelation 4 and 5. We find the church at home with their Redeemer in Revelation chapter number 5. They're introduced to this seven-sealed book. And all of heaven sees this book and they understand that that book has within it very serious matters and weighty matters. And matters that, my friend, are heavy to the human mind and heart as they look on this seven-sealed book. Amen. The question is posed, who is worthy to take and open the books and the seals of the book thereof? There is a search that is made, and conclusion is made that there is none that is found worthy to open the book. All of heaven begins to weep, and John the Beloved begins to weep. And all of a sudden, there's one that appears before him and says, weep not, there is one that has been found. And he identifies him and rather tells John the Beloved at the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he has stepped forth and he has been found worthy and strong enough to open the book. Amen. John the Beloved, my friend, all of a sudden is overwhelmed with a sense of excitement. He's overwhelmed that somebody can finally take this book of prophecy and open it and bring to pass the will and the plan of Almighty God. Amen. He lifts and raises from his knees and from the ground, and he looks to see the one that is worthy. By the time John turns to see the one that was told to him, was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When John looked and saw, amen, he did not find him to be a lion, but he found him to be the Lamb of God. Amen, you find all of that in Revelation chapter number 5. And it seems like in one unified voice all at one time, amen, all the redeemed of the Lord began to fall down upon their face. Amen, studying the Lamb and looking at the Lamb, they began to sing to him, and thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so, my friend, we're introduced to amen, this seven sealed book, amen, and for the remainder of Revelation chapter number 5, amen, there is praise, there is worship that breaks out in heaven, amen, they cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, amen, they acknowledge the fact that it's He and He alone, amen, that has brought them into God's plan of redemption, amen, and so Revelation 4 and 5, the church at home with their Savior, amen, with the love of their life and the love of their soul, amen, they are there all of a sudden in Revelation 6, amen, the Lamb is going to begin to open the seals in this book. In Revelation 6, our attention is turned back toward heavenward. As the first seal is open, you'll find there is a white horse that appears. There is one that sits upon this horse. The Bible said that he has a bow, but he has no arrows. He comes, my friend, conquering by the word of his mouth. He comes conquering, my friend, through deception. He comes, my friend, conquering the world and the nations. My friend, without ever firing a shot, a man bringing a word of peace to this world. This man that rides upon the white horse is none other than the Antichrist that shall be revealed after he. A man that now restrains that spirit of Antichrist that is at work even now in the world in which we live and has, a man throughout, my friend, since the fall of mankind. A man, but when the Spirit of God steps down the way, a man of sin, this white horse and white horse rider is going to appear and he's going to be bringing a word of peace. Amen. He'll settle all the nations down. He'll establish a one world government, a one world military, and a one world economical system. Amen. And by the way, it is no coincidence that in these days, all the worlds are talking, all the nations in the world are talking, amen, about cryptocurrencies and different forms of payment than that. Amen, we don't want everybody on something different. We want everybody on one system. You're living in a world right now, amen, that even in America, there are some places, amen, that will not take your cash and your coins. Amen, they demand a credit card payment or you hold your phone up. Amen, if you're going to buy anything, amen, that is going to be the economy of the Antichrist. It'll be much greater than it is today. Amen, but everything is shaping up for the man of sin to be able to bring, my friend, his one world government, his one world system, one world economic system, and bring that into place. Mankind, amen, will begin to look to him as though he were a God, and yet they do not realize he is the very son of perdition. He is the man of sin, the man, amen, that before all is said and done, is going to wreak havoc upon this world. He's going to drag literally the souls of untold billions, amen, into the devil's place, amen, straight into the lake of fire, amen. And he'll come, and boy, he'll be a man working miracles. He'll be a man bringing great deception, and they're going to follow this white horse rider, amen, into the devil's system, amen. The second seal is open. We're introduced to another horse and another rider, amen. This horse is seen by John to be that, amen, of a red horse. Amen. When this red horse comes on the scene, amen, the rider, the horse and the rider, and it said, and power was given to him that sent thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. And we believe that to be the Antichrist in his turning from peace unto that of my friend breaking his peace treaty and plunging this world into worldwide war. Amen. They're going to fight one another. They're going to be at each other's throat. Amen. He's going to turn and trying to rule and reign. Amen. He's going to wreak havoc. Amen. Bringing great war with a great sword. The third seal is open. And all of a sudden, John sees a black horse and a black rider. And my friend comes upon the scene. And this represents worldwide famine. it, and it's going to strike this world like she's never seen before. In fact, there are a pair of balances in the writer's hand, and a voice, and it's crying in the midst of the four beasts, and it says, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so there'll be a worldwide famine the likes of which the world has never seen. In time, my friend, will be in hunger. He'll be, my friend, in great peril. Amen. They won't be able to run down the grocery store and fill up all their buggy and walk through the lane and go home and fill up their cupboard, Seth. Amen. They'll stand in long lines, Seth, and belly growling all the time. Amen. For a little handful and a little morsel of barley and crops and grains, Seth, they might be sustained till the next day. Amen. They'll be rationing worldwide. Amen. That'll take place. Amen. Every McDonald's and Taco Bell's going to be shut down. Amen. You won't be able to run down your favorite steakhouse. Amen. My friend, it is going to be a famine across the entire globe, and mankind will groan in great hunger. Amen. What a day the tribulation time is going to be. Amen. We find the fourth seal is open in verse number 7. And the world is invited to come and to see. Amen. When John sees the fourth seal open, amen, there's a pale horse that comes on the sea. Amen. The Bible said that the one that my friend is riding thereon, amen, his name is Death. Amen. You'll find that hell is following after him. Amen. John said, here come the pale horse, Seth, and the angel of death was riding, and he was riding through the world, Death, and hell, my friend, marched along right behind. Amen. And was gobbling up the souls of mankind, and death began to slay. In fact, when we read verse number 8 of Revelation 6, the Bible said, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, a kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And so, my friend, he describes the fact that, my friend, they're going to kill men, death, and hell is going to slay and snatch the souls of men. Amen. Through all sorts and through all means, Seth. Amen. It'll be death, my friend, like the world has never seen. Amen. When the fourth seal is open, according to Revelation 6:8, amen, a fourth part, that is, Brother Mo, 25% of the world's population will be slain when the pale horse rider and death comes through. And you imagine what that would do. And you imagine the stink. Can you imagine the world? Amen. We'll not even be able to bury that many people. Amen. I imagine there'll be mass graves. There'll be just means of burning bodies in every land and in every city. Amen. As death has its way in this world. Amen. And hell thereof falling behind. Amen. Oh, what a dreadful thing that is. Amen. I won't deal with the fifth seal at this moment. Amen. We'll look at it in a moment. We come to the sixth seal. Amen. As the Lamb opens it, all of a sudden there is a cataclysmic event that begins to take place. We read of the great earthquake that shakes the very foundation of the world, so much so that the mountains and the islands of the earth are going to be shaken out of their places. The rocks are going to begin to fall. The caves are going to begin to collapse in. And my friend, the sun is darkened and put out. A moon, my friend, is turned to an eerie blood-like color. Amen. The stars began to fall in darkness. Seth is going to be upon the face of the world. Amen. This is going to strike such an emotion in the world during that time. Amen. That the Bible said, as we read it, that men of every ethnicity, of every position, of every common place, said that, my friend, they're going to run and try to hide themselves, said, amen, from that is taking place. And the testimony of the world in that day is simply this, amen, they acknowledge that what we are facing in the opening of these seals is the wrath of the Lamb. This is not global warming. This is not man-made events. This is a sovereign act of the Lamb of God, and is dealing with us, and then is judging us, and then is ruining our way of living. The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Throughout the Scripture we find the recurring theme of Christ as a Lamb. Revelation 13:8, as slain from the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 we read, amen, that we are born again, that not of silver and gold, amen, of things of earthly value, but that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ as a Lamb, and has been slain without spot and without blemish. Amen. John the Baptist in John 1:28. Amen. Declaring to the crowd that had shown up to hear him preach. Amen. When he seen the Lord Jesus coming their way, he said, behold, lift up your eyes. Amen. Lay your eyes upon the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so the fact that Christ is a Lamb, the fact that Christ is seen over and over and over as a Lamb, amen, is, my friend, significant to you and to me. Amen. You'll find that, my friend, Christ in the book of Revelation alone, he is called the Lamb 26 times in 28 verses over and over and over. Amen. We're brought to face, amen, the Lamb of God. And I say this morning, the Lamb, you say the wrath of the Lamb, it is the wrath of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lamb, amen, the Lamb of God. Amen. The one who's been slain. The one, amen, the one that has provided a redemption. The one that takes away sin. Amen. Here we find the wrath of the Lamb. He is the waited Lamb. Amen. In Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac are heading atop Mount Moriah. Amen. They've got fire in their hand, wood in their hand. Amen. They've got a knife in their hand. They're going to do sacrifice. Amen. As he doesn't know all that, amen, God has put in the heart of Abraham, amen, to kill his own son atop Mount Moriah. Amen. And as he asks the question, amen, Father, I see the wood and the fire in the night. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Amen. And my friend, the answer of Abraham, amen, resounds throughout all the Old Testament. Amen. My son, God said, provide himself a lamb. Amen. And I'm glad he is the waited lamb. Amen. He's the one that is typified. Amen. From Genesis to the book of Malachi. Amen. From Genesis to the days of John the Baptist. Amen. That was the waited lamb. The one, amen, slain, yes, from the foundation of the world, and brought into time, brought to walk among us, brought, amen, to where we were to be slain for our sin. Amen. He was the waited lamb. He was the wounded lamb. Amen. Brother Tim dealt with Isaiah, the end of Isaiah 52 and chapter 53 this morning. Amen. And he was wounded. The Bible said, as a lamb wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. The chastisement of our peace. Amen. God laid on his lamb, his son. Amen. As the act and the plan of redemption was brought to pass. Amen. The wounded lamb, the waited lamb. We could, through the Scriptures today, find that he is declared to be the worship lamb in Revelation 5. Amen. As all heaven again sings that new song. Amen. Of his worthiness. Amen. Of what he done. Of how, amen, he redeemed us. He found us. He came to where we were. Amen. Bringing us out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. And when we get to glory, amen, man, all of heaven is going to, amen, proclaim him to be the worthy lamb. May I say he is today. So we could preach on the waited lamb. We could preach on the wounded lamb. Amen. We could preach on the worshipped and the worthy lamb. Amen. But in our text we've had, amen, that the world declares, and what they are going to face, what John the Baptist said, who had warned you to flee from wrath that is to come, and they acknowledged the great day of God's wrath indeed has come. And when they began to describe it, amen, they say, this is the wrath of the Lamb. We find here in this text that He is the warring Lamb. The warring Lamb. I want to say this morning, this is maybe ironic. Could we say it that way? I could see, my friend, when you speak of war and wrath, that Christ would be declared to be a lion. And He is a lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I could see, my friend, other descriptions being given to Him of an aggressive, an animal with an aggressive nature. An animal that, my friend, is known to do harm and to get agitated. But the description is, this is the wrath of the Lamb. Let me say a few things here and I'll get the text. I'll give you my 3 points and we'll be done. But Christ's nature as a lamb is seen clearly not only throughout all Scripture, but I believe tonight in His first advent, that is when He came 2,000 years ago. Amen. For Christ in His first coming, He came. Amen. We see His lowliness, His humility. We see His great patience that He exercised. Amen. We see in His disposition. Amen. Was so mild and so meek. Amen. That even children were not intimidated. Amen. To come to where He was and to crawl up on His lap. Amen. And be taken up into His arms. Amen. When we think about Christ in His first advent as a lamb. Amen. We find one that, amen, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. Amen. We find one that though He was mistreated and betrayed and done wrong, He never lashed out. Amen. We find one that even when He came to His very enemies, amen, when they would smite Him, He would simply turn the other cheek. Amen. As a lamb, we find in His nature, amen, a very sweet disposition. Amen. We find that friend and the Savior, amen, a meek and a mild man, amen, that walked among mankind as a lamb. Amen. I say I'm glad when He came the first time. Amen. You say you believe all that business about Jesus being the Lamb of God. I believe every bit of it. Amen. I believe it displays His spirit. I believe it displays His disposition very well. Amen. I know He got angry at times in His earthly life. Amen. But that was against religion that was trying to hold the people back. Amen. From recognizing Him to be the Lamb of God. And it showed up to deal with their sin. Amen. And so, amen, what we find is though to the common man and Christ, amen, it is not far-fetched to imagine Him being a lamb-natured personality. He proved that over and over and over again. Meek and mild, opening not His mouth against those that had spake against Him. Amen. Even in the scene of Calvary. Amen. When we think about Christ being a lamb in His first advent. Amen. That is no more clear than when you come to the scene of Calvary. Amen. For in the book of Revelation, it is amazing at nearly every reference to Christ as a lamb or the lamb. Amen. Is followed with some form of statement and references the fact that He was slain. Amen. Slain at Calvary's Hill. Amen. Had His throat cut in Golgotha. Amen. His back bared, His body stripped, His back plowed, His face smote, His cheeks having spittle dripping off of them. Amen. A planted crown of thorns upon His head. Amen. All of that represents, amen, that Old Testament sacrifice. Amen. Friend, in those sacrifices there was, amen, the promised day. And the Lamb of God would come and be slain and have His blood shed for our sin. Amen. Way. Amen. Because there was no other way. Amen. Listen, the Bible declares, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be a sacrifice. Something had to die because of the sin of mankind. Amen. Something had to die because I was a sinner and you were a sinner. And without blood, we had no hope. Christ as the Lamb of God. Amen. Not only came in sweetness, but He came as a sacrifice for our sin. Oh, Brother Tim, stirred our heart this morning. Amen. Friend, the Word of God still stands to remind us of all of His suffering, of all that He paid. Amen. And the sacrifice for our sin. Amen. And I'm telling you today, amen, God is not for God and Jesus is not for God. Amen. Tim said the Spirit of the Lord is not for God. This world seems like they forgot what Jesus did. May I say, He is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sin.
Amen. Thank God.
But now, amen. Oh boy, there's so much I could preach here. He ain't the Lamb that just came in the sweet disposition and came to be the sacrifice for our sin. But He's a Lamb that, my friend, is sovereign enough to rise from the dead.
Yes.
It's the Lamb of God that though they beat Him and beat Him to a bloody pulp, amen, beating Him so badly He looked like a hung piece of meat in a butcher shop somewhere. And Brother Mike there, the Son of God, amen, gave up His life, yielded up His life to the Father. Amen, they took Him down off the cross. They brought the Lamb off the cross. They laid the Lamb in a borrowed tomb. Amen, wherein no man had ever laid before. Amen, oh, praise God. 3 days later, amen, the Lamb arose in victory and in power, amen, proving His own sovereignty. The sovereign Lamb. So when the Word of God says, and you need to listen, that in this time of tribulation and the opening of the sixth seal, this is the wrath of the Lamb. We're not talking about an ordinary Lamb. In fact, when He is presented, I'm bogging down. Y'all pray for me. When we're introduced to Him, Brother Ronnie, in Revelation 5, the Bible said, amen, when John turned to see Him, amen, that he said, there stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. This is no ordinary Lamb. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. Amen. This ain't a lamb that you're going to be able to beat down. This ain't a lamb you're going to be able to cut His throat again. Oh no, friend, He's coming back. Amen. He came the first time. Amen. With love in His heart, He came the first time bringing grace and deliverance and salvation. Amen. He came the first time to lay His life down and to be slain and to be bled out. Amen. He came the first time to be buried and raised again. But in the time of the tribulation, He will exhibit wrath such as this world has never known. He'll unleash upon them in the opening of these seals that will lead to the blowing of seven trumpets, that will lead to the pouring out of seven vials, that will all culminate in the end of the tribulation, or in the valley of Armageddon, where we'll preach from next week, where we'll be, amen, the full measure of the wrath of God poured out when the Lamb comes back riding His own white horse, and crowns on His head, a rod of iron in His hand, amen, and He's going to stop the ungodly, He's going to, my friend, wear them out, amen, so much so that the blood would flow through the valley of Armageddon all the way to the horse's bridle. They'll swim their horses in a sea of blood when the wrath of the Lamb is poured out on them. So you're just trying to scare people. You better believe I am. Warning, wrath to come. Wrath to come. The wrath of the Lamb is on the way. Hey man, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You may never heard a warning before. Hey man, but I'm telling you today, there's a preacher that loves you enough. There's a God in glory that loves you enough to give you a chance. Hey man, to hear a warning about the wrath of the Lamb. Let me jump in the text, and I got to hurry. Amen. I don't want to have to preach this tonight. Let me give you a few things about this. Number one, consider with me the reasons for his wrath. Can I put it in ways that everybody be able to understand? Why is the Lamb so ticked off? Why has this Lamb that when he was presented in his first coming was so full of love and grace. Amen. Why is it that he came bringing such patience and meekness and loneliness? But now when we finally come to Revelation chapter number 6, amen, even the world said the Lamb's against us. The Lamb is pouring judgment out on us. Why has he gone from being so full of love to being so full of wrath?
Right. Yeah.
I think there's an answer. Let me say number one. In fact, I'll give you three answers. Amen. I don't know if we get through. I may have to bump it to next week. Amen. But just bear with me. Number one. Amen. He is bringing his wrath. Amen. I believe to punish the rejectors of his blood.
Amen.
Well, God is love, and I know God is love. He's full of love today and full of mercy, and that has never been more displayed than it was displayed 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin and my sin. That was the greatest manifestation of love the world could ever know and ever see. My friend, that message has been preached down through the ages now. Amen. Untold millions. Amen. Maybe billions have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have obeyed the gospel. They, amen, have repented of their sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And have acknowledged that I'm a sinner, that I deserve hell. I deserve the wrath and the judgment eternally of Almighty God. When Revelation 4 and 5 takes place, everybody that has received, amen, the message of the gospel, put their faith and trust in Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and let his blood be the redemption payment for their sin. They are ushered in the presence of God. You say, well, what happens to everybody who hasn't done that? They are left behind to face the opening of the seals, to go through this time known as Great Tribulation. And so there are saved mamas and daddies that are taken out. Children that are left behind. There are children that have been saved by the grace of God whose parents played a game and rejected a gospel in the blood of Christ. And they are left behind. They're in great, amen, divisions and separations that are going to be made. Amen. There'll be a separation of saved friends from their sinner friends. Amen. And all the redeemed of God, all those that have put their trust in the blood of Jesus Christ are in heaven with the Lord. Revelation 4 and 5. All those that have rejected the blood of the Lamb are left behind to face the wrath of the Lamb. He loved them enough to die for their sin. He loved them enough to shed his blood for their sin. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, he went through all he went through. Because when we were ungodly, Christ, having loved us, he died for us, Seth. And Brother Jack, in the plan and the will of a perfect God, amen, the Lamb of God died having loved us.
Amen.
You keep rejecting that message and you be left behind the tribulation time, you will face the wrath of Almighty God. And the reason is, he is going to punish you directly for being a rejecter of his blood.
Amen.
That's why you better make sure your faith is in the Savior. Amen, my friend. I'm a little better than I used to be. Amen, that's not the hope we have of eternal life. Amen, it ain't him, my friend, baptism and coming to church. Amen, it ain't it. Amen, our good deeds and our good words. Amen, you better make sure on a shadow of a doubt you're trusting in Christ and Christ alone. Well, you know, me and God, we've got an understanding. I had an experience. That'd never be enough to take any man to heaven. Hey, man, this week I ate some things I shouldn't have ate too late. Hey, man, and I had some bad experiences. That's about all your little spiritual experiences are going to be worth.
That's right.
If you don't put your faith in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He's coming. He is coming. The exact punishment. Amen. On a crowd of rejecters. Those that have heard what you're hearing today. Amen. You see, the fact is you hear this kind of preaching. Amen. You shrug it off. You act like it ain't no big deal. You have no concern for eternity and the things that are to come. After in the fact of the matter is there is coming a day in which God is going to punish you for being a rejecter of His blood. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, or chapter number 1 rather, verse number 8, the Bible said, a man in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Why is the Lamb so ticked off? Because He paid a price nobody else could pay. Delivered that message to a world of sinners that needed it more than they could even understand, and provided the only means of their redemption. And they said, no, to the Lamb. You've been told to believe. You've been told through the message of the gospel to repent of your sin. So long as you refuse to bow your knee and call upon Christ, my friend, you stand in jeopardy of the judgment and the wrath that is to come. Thereby the Lamb will run out of patience with you. Amen. I'm glad He's a patient God. I'm glad He ain't put you in hell already. I'm glad for I got saved. Amen. He kept me alive long enough. Amen. That I can have an opportunity. Amen. I don't recommend any sinner play games in the days we're living in. You don't know. Amen. How much little time is left? Amen. You don't know when this thing's going to be over. Amen. You don't know when your last service is going to be. You don't know when you won't be able to find Pastor Ledbetter. Amen. To tell me how to be saved one more time. Amen. You don't know that right now is not your last hour. When that deadline is crossed, all you're left to face, and rightfully so, is the wrath of the Lamb to punish every rejecter of His blood.
Amen.
Number two, He's coming in wrath. The reasons for His wrath is not only to punish the rejecters of His blood, but it is to pursue the vengeance of His people. When the fifth seal is opened in Revelation 6, we passed over it. John said when that seal was opened up, he said, I began to hear a voice coming out from the altar. Amen. That's in heaven right there underneath the altar. Amen. The voice of the martyrs, the voice of those that have been slain for their faithfulness to the Lamb. They have been saved. They had lived for the Lamb. They counted not their lives dear even unto death. And were willing to be martyrs. Were willing to lay down their life. Are willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice face that any child of God can pay for being a child of God.
Amen.
When told to deny the Lamb, they said, we will not do it. They were beheaded with swords, burned at the stakes, drowned in the sea, fed the lions, run out of town, amen, were killed in all sorts of cruel and unusual ways. Amen, underneath the Roman Empire, our bodies are used to lay, amen, as human body torches. Amen, they would burn those bodies to lay, amen, some of the great cities of the Roman Empire. And now, my friend, when the fifth seal is opened, amen, the voice of those martyrs began to cry out. And here's what they're saying. How long, Lord? How long? How long until you avenge our blood in the earth? Lord, amen, the Lord, the Lamb, looks to those souls. He said, I want you to rest a little while. Amen. In other words, it's just a little while. Amen. It's just a little while. And my friend, listen, it ain't a coincidence. And when that sixth seal is opened, amen, the world says, dear God, this is the wrath of the Lamb. Amen. We got to do what we can to hide from this. Amen. Why? Because, amen, in the wrath of the Lamb, there is a part whereby the wrath of the Lamb is exhibiting a pursuit of vengeance for His people. Amen. Want everybody to listen real good and well. You better be careful how you treat saved people.
Amen.
I know I'm preaching something. You won't hear this on the TV or the radio. When the wrath of the Lamb's poured out, He is coming to pursue vengeance for how this world and ungodly people
Amen.
Treated those who belonged to Him.
Amen.
And as a husband is jealous over how others treat his wife, my friend will rise. Amen. We'll rise, amen, to exact vengeance upon those that are abusive. The day is coming. Oh, you think you're getting by now? You think you can speak to, amen, the preacher? You think you can treat the man of God? You think you could, amen, come in the church and, amen, act a rebel and act a fool and act, amen, like you're big and bad and you're greater? Amen, do all you can to downplay God's people. You better listen to what this preacher said. A day's coming, the wrath of the Lamb is coming your way. Amen, and He is coming, amen, in a little while to bring vengeance on everybody who mistreated His people.
Right. Amen.
You better believe that's right. Buddy, I'm telling you, you can mock me all you want to mock. You can resist everything you want to resist. Amen, the day's coming. I'm telling you, and I'm not taking joy in it. Amen, I really don't care how you treat me. I really don't care what you think of me this morning. Amen, but the Lamb cares. The Lamb cares. And He's got a record. He has a record. Amen, of what you do with those that are saved. That's why you better be careful. You young people better be careful what you say about your saved mamas and daddies. Run them down like you got everything figured out. Mock their religion. Mock the holiness of their life. Amen. Run down their standards. Run down their life for God. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a day coming. The wrath of the Lamb's going to come your way. He's heard every conversation you ever had. Amen. He's heard every time you grumbled and murmured and complained. Amen. Every time you run the preacher down, I can't believe. Amen. He'd preach that again. I can't believe. He's an old fuddy-duddy. And my friend, the day's coming. The wrath of the Lamb is coming your way for that kind of junk.
Amen.
You listen to me? Hey man, you know what you're doing? You're heaping up to yourself greater measures of wrath. Ain't we having a time? Say, so you can't believe all that? Well, I think I proved it from Revelation 6. And let me read you another verse here too in 2 Thessalonians 1 again. Amen. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Amen. In verse number 4, so then we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Listen now, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense. That's the old word, just means repay. To bring the wages to. With God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know what the Apostle Paul just said, Brother Jack? He said, God knows those that trouble you. And the things you endure and the things you suffer and the tribulation they're causing you, God's going to bring them tribulation to a greater degree than they ever thought about bringing to you. And when God does it, it'll be right, it'll be righteous, and it'll be just. Because you treat God's people bad, God, the Lamb, is going to pour His wrath out and treat you bad. Y'all listening? Warning is coming. This world needs to hear this preaching today. Amen. I wish the whole county was here. I wish somehow we could project it to every life and every soul. If you don't want to be saved, that's your business. So you'll face the wrath of God simply for that. But you heap it up unto yourself when you begin to mock the church, mistreat the church, talk bad about the church, and downplay the role of God's people. You know this world thinks we're the problem.
Right. You're right.
That's right. These bunch of rap music, bunch of junk. They can sing about shooting each other, killing each other, rebellion, devil worship, but we're the problem. Come on now. They can get on TV and carry on like a bunch of idiots. And all of a sudden, we're the problem. Oh, somebody needs to help me preach. They want to silence us and say, well, you can't preach that way. And you can't call sin what it is and leave us alone. You're just mean-spirited. You don't understand the love of God. I understand the love of God. Amen. Sent His Son to the cross and died for our sin. Amen. You reject that. You've gotten wrath. Amen, friend, you start playing around with those that have received it. Troubling them. It's just going to be a bad day for that crowd.
Right.
The day will come, you mark her down. Them bunch of rebels in our society, the day's going to come, son, when they, right now, today, they mock us and say, we wouldn't trade places with them old fuddy-duddies, those Bible thumpers, those Christians. It rolls off their tongue, Brother Carl, like it's a curse word, like we're some enigma. But you mark it down good and well, the day's coming. Every rejecter of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every person who's ever troubled one child of God, they will gladly trade places with God's people.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say, and I'm just under the first point, ain't we having a time? Boy, I feel like I could preach 6 hours right now. I feel so good. I've been in warfare for 2 days. I'm feeling the victory side of it all. Y'all listening? Amen. Why has the Lamb gone from being so full of love and grace to being so full of wrath? Well, it is to pursue vengeance of His people. It is to punish the rejecters of His blood. Something happens after the sixth seal is opened. Amen. And it is the opening of the seventh seal that is found in Revelation chapter 7. When that seal is open, all of a sudden there is a revival that takes place among the Jewish communities. 12,000 male virgins from every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. There are 12,000 from each tribe that are saved and delivered and put their faith and their trust in the, amen, in the Messiah, in the Lamb of God, in the, amen, in the one that Isaiah 53 had told them all along to trust.
Amen.
They'll be saved and there'll be 144,000 Jewish evangelists
hallelujah.
That began to make their way, hallelujah,
that began to make their way across the earth in the tribulation time. Amen. And they're going to have a message in their heart. Amen. And they're going to declare the way of God as the way of salvation. Amen. They'll call upon the nations to turn to God. They'll call on the nations, my friend, to bow their neck, put their faith in the Lamb, and receive the power of the message of the gospel. Say, what's going to happen? The Bible said in Revelation 7 that there was a multitude that could not be numbered. Hallelujah. And say, salvation belongeth to He that sits on the throne. Amen. There'll be a great crowd. Amen. Now let me tell you this. Amen. The reason the wrath of the Lamb is poured out, it's going to give way to the preaching of the gospel message. Amen. Do you understand? You better understand this today. And a majority, a great majority by far of this world's population don't have the opportunity you have, young man, this morning to hear about what's to come. But Mark, the vast majority of the world today has never even heard the name Jesus. They've never been given a clear presentation of the gospel. And in the tribulation time, the wrath of the Lamb will spark not only a revival among the Jewish communities. God has sent them 144,000 evangelist missionaries, amen, out to preach the gospel to those in that dispensation of time. Amen. But those heathens in them faraway lands, amen, they didn't know no better. They knew something was missing on the inside. They knew they had a void on the inside. And my friend, after they experience a measure of the wrath of the Lamb and the gospel is given to them, amen, they will gladly receive the salvation of God. But there won't be one get saved that's in this service today that has opportunity to hear today. You'll never be given an opportunity to be saved in that time. See, even in the midst of God's wrath being poured out, the wrath of the Lamb, He still extends mercy and grace. Praise God. Those the church was not able to reach. Those that, my friend, were born in a culture that was so anti-Christ and anti the Word of God. He's going to give that crowd that has never, amen, never heard the truth. He's going to give them, amen, an opportunity to hear it one time. After they have felt the wrath of the Lamb against them and they hear that message of deliverance, praise God, they'll say salvation belongs to God and they'll be saved. So what in the world does that have to do with us today? You may not be experiencing the wrath of God, but you're hearing a message on it. You know what a message like this is designed to do? It is designed to preach the gospel of salvation. To tell you the wrath of the Lamb is coming and it's a serious, serious matter. You can shrug it off as, oh, that's just Bible fairy tales and fables and scare tactics. It's not. I believe every line of that book, from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation, it is true from cover to cover. Everything it says about wrath and judgment and the Lamb being angry, it's absolutely so. I don't want anybody left behind. I'm a preaching to some today. If that rapture happened today, you have been given so many opportunities to hear messages on hell and judgment and why all that is deserved in your life and in all of our lives. So I'm going to wait and see how it all turns out. Oh, no. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil. Amen. Just sit back and wait and see. Let's just see if Jesus coming back is really real. Do you realize the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 said that if you did not have a love for the truth in this dispensation of time, after that the rapture takes place and the tribulation period begins, that God Himself will send you a strong delusion.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Amen, preacher.
And you pride yourself. You're so smart and you're so well put together and you got everything so figured out. You think what we're preaching today is a lie when in fact it's the truth. God said you don't have a love for the truth to embrace it. I'll send a strong delusion and you will believe a lie.
Amen.
That's not that hard to believe. They're believing lies already.
Amen.
God will send them a strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. They'll take the mark of the beast, follow the Antichrist, seal their fate, and there'll be no escape from the wrath of the Lamb or the lake of fire that is to come. Y'all hear that? God wants to get somebody's attention today. I wanted to preach on the relentlessness of His wrath. That Bible says a whole lot about that day when the wrath of the Lamb is poured out. And it don't say there's one good thing about that day. Somebody say, I can't wait for Preacher Jeff to get out of here and the church to get out of here and my saved mom and daddy get out of here. I can't wait for that Christian influence to be gone. Then we'll really be able to live it up. No, you won't. Oh, you'll enjoy the first few days of the tribulation when that white horse rider comes on and it seems like there's peace across the earth. Buddy, when that second seal is opened up, literally all hell begins to be unleashed on this earth. You won't enjoy one thing that is anti-God. Whatever time will be left, you'll be... If you live through that fourth seal being opened when 25% of the world is destroyed and killed and slain, if you're not of that number, you would probably say, I wish I'd have been of that number.
Yes, sir.
It's going to get so bad, a relentlessness. Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 3 and in verse number 2, he said of his day, realizing the wrath of God against Israel, here's what he prayed in wrath. Remember mercy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And God did. God extended mercy. Can I tell you, in the tribulation time when the wrath of the Lamb is to come, it will be wrath without mercy.
No mercy.
Relentless. He'll shake the earth with a great rumbling and a great quaking, moving the islands and the mountains. What's he doing? He is destroying mankind's stabilities. Everything you think is so firm in your life right now this morning, when the wrath of the Lamb gets done with you, you won't have anything to stand on. The Bible said He darkens the sun, He bloodens the moon, and the stars fall out of place. I wrote it down this way, Brother Jack, and I don't know what all that means. I don't dare claim to know what all that means. I know when I read it, it's a serious matter. But I do know that mankind worships the sun and the moon and the stars. God, when the wrath of the Lamb is poured out, He's going to destroy their deities.
Amen.
He's going to slay every other god. He is going to cause man and his faith in every other god, including himself, man himself. He's going to bring down every other deity mankind has ever put their trust in. He's going to destroy their entities. It's amazing, when the wrath of the Lamb comes, nobody is left out. The kings of the earth, the mighty men, the rich men, the chief captains. Then the Bible said every bond man, every slave, and every free man. Money won't bail you out. Position won't bail you out. Your political power will not bail you out. See, the ground's level at Calvary, and the ground will be level when the wrath of the Lamb comes. That's right. He'll destroy every entity man has set up to insulate himself from hardship and trouble. God will say, ain't nobody getting out of this. Are y'all listening? I go on and on. I'm telling you, he's a lot in this, the relentlessness of his wrath. I wanted to close this morning on the realization of his wrath. Begin to play there for a minute, sister. I'm almost done. One thing that stands out in this text, Brother Mike, to me, is that when the wrath of the Lamb has come, they know where it's coming from. You see, they try to deny he even exists, much less that he accomplished everything that he's accomplished. But Brother Mark, there is coming a day that every sinner is going to say, when that sixth seal is busted open, they're going to say, we know who's doing this. They will realize the purity of his wrath. They will realize the person of this wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. They'll realize the power of his wrath. It's a great day of his wrath. I wanted to preach about the face that they fear. Here's what they say to the mountains and the rocks. Fall on us. Fall on us. Cover us up with a heap of dirt. That would be better than to have to look up into the face of the Lamb. You know, Carl, they did that when Christ was betrayed and they took him to that trial. They smote him in the face and they plucked at his beard and they mocked him. They lied on him. The Bible said they couldn't even stand to look at him, Ronnie. They had to blindfold him, put a veil over his face, not to keep him from knowing who it was that was hitting them. They couldn't bear to look in the face of such a holy one. Day's coming when the wrath of the Lamb comes. They're going to say, mountains fall on us. Cover us in rubble. We can't bear to look at him anymore. Can't bear. Think. We got to stand before him. Face they fear. What a day. So, it ain't that big a deal, preacher. I know you may think that today. That's not how they feel. See the frustration they feel. Fall on us. Why did they say that? Why did they say fall on us? They've reached a point of frustration. They can't get away from him. They can't outrun what they've been warned about so many times. There's no escape. There's nowhere to go. There's no place that they can flee. They can't get far enough. They can't get there fast enough. For where they go, they're reminded the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb. Where they reach a place of frustration, they would rather die than live another day under this great wrath. They end this morning as they realize, have this realization of his wrath, I see the fact that they foretell. Say, what do you mean, preacher? This whole thing, it ends. I know I've been long today. I've been longer than usual. What is the fact they foretell? Brother Charlie, here's how this text ends. Who shall be able to stand? They're not just talking about themselves. The book of Revelation is prophetical. Brother, it's prophetical what they're saying. What they are saying, it's almost like for a moment they see John the Beloved watching all this happen. Ronnie, they look at him and say, who shall be able to stand? We thought we was going to be all right. We thought we had enough time to get right. We thought we could wait it out and see how it would all turn out in the end. We thought that we would overcome before it was all over. Now we're here. Now we're getting what we deserve. We're not nearly as strong as we thought we were. We don't have near the time that we thought that we had. We didn't have it all nailed down the way that we perceived. They are giving a fact and foretelling a fact. My friend, you have the privilege to hear today. You don't want to go to that day. You don't want to go to that day. You don't want to leave today lost. You don't want to have to face the wrath of the Lamb. Why, preacher, would you take so long preaching this? Because I know that in their question, what they are saying, nobody, nobody can stand the wrath of the Lamb. And if there's only one, and I suppose there's more than one, if there's only one here today that's in danger of this wrath that is to come, it'd be worth preaching for the next 4 hours if that would shake them and get them to understand their deep need of Christ. Be worth pouring it all out. It'd be worth the spiritual warfare we fought the last few days. It'd be worth, amen, the sleepless nights. It'd be worth the prayers. It'd be worth, amen, pouring it all out this last hour and 5 minutes to preach to you today. It would be worth it all if just that one soul realized I'm playing games with something I won't be able to stand. Wrath of the Lamb. We've had some saints of God got some praying on the altar already. We've had some praying in their pews, tears running off the cheeks of saved people. So why are they acting that way? Because they remember the day they stood in danger of going to the wrath of the Lamb, but God saved them and delivered them. Now the greatest desire we have is that God would work in somebody else's life. We're standing across the building this morning. If you would,